Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our text this morning is the lesson which you heard just a moment ago, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 through 10. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, real men do eat quiche. At least that's what I've always contended. It's not difficult, it's really quite easy to say that today, but 20 or 30 years ago, before salad with dressing on the side became acceptable lunch for men, back in a less health and fitness conscious era, when red meat, probably from cattle injected with steroids, was a test of a guy's testosterone. Back when Bennigan's first started offering it on its Sunday champagne brunch menu, it took a lot of courage for a guy to order up a quiche Lorraine. Or worse, a quiche Florentine, spinach. At very minimum, it was sure to raise all kinds of jokes about the guy's manhood. Very soon, a number of you will be going out to become pastors of God's church. And very, very soon, many of you will be finding out where that's going to be. No more field workers, no longer vicars, real pastors. Which means, whether you eat quiche or not, you're going to have to be real men. Deaconesses and your families, wives, moms, sisters of candidates and vicars, forgive me if this one day I really just think about the 65 guys that are getting their calls this evening. But you know, it's true in a sense that has nothing to do with macho. Real pastors are real men. There are at least two extremes that guys can fall into when they first go out to become pastors. The first one is STM, scared to minister. Paul writes our text this morning from prison, and this time he probably didn't get out. He says already he's being poured out as a drink offering. He knows that the time for his departure is near. He's probably very soon going to perish for the gospel. That can happen. And frankly, there are a lot of things to be scared about out there in the parish, even though you probably won't. How in the world am I possibly going to come up with something to say for 2,000 sermons? Is anybody going to listen? Luther, you may know, was flat out scared to death when he first was called to preach. He told his supervisor, "It'll kill me." And you may remember what Staupitz said in response. He said, "It's okay, Martin. God needs good men in heaven, too." Presumably, real men. But what if in Bible class, somebody asks me the same question that Dr. Weinrich drilled me on in my TI? Didn't know the answer then. Don't understand the answer now. Or what if I can't think of anything comforting to say at the viewing at the funeral home? Or what if, really honestly, I'm still kind of nervous about suggesting we have a prayer or a devotion with the whole family there in the hospital room? The pastoral ministry is not for the faint of heart. For this reason, Paul writes to Timothy, verse 6 of our text, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of timidity, but of power. It's normal, even healthy, to be a little bit scared to minister. But God makes you a man, a real man, a real pastor, by the gift of the laying on of hands. That's the gift of power, the spirit of power. That's the spirit of Christ. It's the spirit that Christ gave up to us when he breathed his last on the cross. It's the same spirit that he gave to the disciples in our gospel lesson for this past Sunday when he breathed on them in the upper room the night that he rose from the grave. It's the same spirit that you will receive by the laying on of hands at your ordination. The Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, is working his magnificent will by his almighty power every time you exercise the office of the gospel. Paul says, verse 9, God saved us and called us to a holy calling because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, and which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. You proclaim that gospel, Jesus' cross and Easter, conquering, abolishing, overcoming death for you and for all your people. That's power. And Jesus says, he who hears you hears me. You're the man. You're God's man. You're God's one man in that spot. Therefore, Paul writes, verse 8, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. Don't be afraid. Don't be timid. But share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. Now, I know that everything I've said is about as politically incorrect as you can get. That didn't bother me at all. Unless any of us men will fail to recognize the other extreme that a guy can fall into when he first goes to be a pastor. That is, to think that being a real pastor means having to be big man, tough guy. That can also happen out of fear, out of timidity. Many a man has ordered ribeye instead of quiche because he was chicken. But it can also happen in the name of upholding the office, in the name of pure doctrine, in the name of suffering for the gospel. Never back down, never give in, never show weakness. Paul says instead, verse 6, through the laying on of my hands, God gave us a spirit not of timidity, but of power and love and self-control. The real man in the office loves his people. And that means he controls his need to be Ubermensch, Superman. God saved us, verse 9, and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, not because we're so tough. Real pastors do eat crow sometimes. Doesn't taste good, but it doesn't taste that bad. When you're wrong, and you will be, often, confessing it is upholding the office. It is suffering for the gospel. That's also the spirit that a real pastor has. And we do have that spirit, because we have the man, Christ Jesus. Taking all that abuse silently, suffering scorn without a clever comeback, hanging limp on the cross. Nobody ever looked weaker. A milquetoast! And that's worse than quiche. You know that's spelled a Q-U-E? But Jesus is a man's man. And infinitely more wonderful than that, he's man's man. All of that, everything suffered for us. For us men, and for our salvation. And for every woman and child too. At their ordination in the Old Testament, Aaron and his sons laid their hands on the head of a bull and then slaughtered it. At your ordination, when they lay their hands on your head, you are laid hold of by the bull, the lamb, the man who was sacrificed for you. Real pastors. You'll be real pastors. Real men. In the real man. Amen.